So turn to your Bibles to Acts chapter 9 today. Acts chapter 9. And we're going to read, I know your sermon notes say 10 through 19, but I'm going to read 1 through 19 just to give you the whole story. Guys, I was nearing 30 years old. I was at Morgan Baptist Church and really trying to get involved, plugged in there. And I've gave my testimony before. I had my life pretty well mapped out. Carol's dad was a deacon there, and we had really got plugged in there, just learning all kinds of things about Jesus and loving the Lord. And I thought, I'm going to be a deacon at Morgan Baptist Church. I'm going to teach Sunday school class, and I'm going to be here for the next 50 years. As you can see, my plan didn't play out quite the way I wanted it to. But I was teaching RAs back when we done RAs and stuff like that in the Southern Baptist Convention, and that's still around, by the way. And my material didn't come in, and I was a little bit freaked out by that. And but I thought, well, you read the Bible all the time. And the Lord told me that I could just use this story to teach my fifth and sixth grade, third through fifth grade boys, actually. And so I was really studying this. And then as time got closer for me to teach that week, the Lord started dealing with me about preaching, and kept saying in my head, you can preach this. Oh, no. And that was my answer. It wasn't, I'll pray about it, just no. And so I taught it in class, and then it just would not go away. And every time the preacher preached, I felt like I was called to preach. And using this passage of scripture that we're going to look at today. And it's not the person that you probably think of when you turn to Acts chapter 9. It's all about the guy that just names appear one time in scripture, other than when Paul mentions him in Acts chapter 20, which is Ananias. And so we're going to learn a little bit about Ananias today and about his obedient love. And I hope you, because I want to be obedient to Jesus more than anything else. I just really want to be obedient in what he's called me to do, even the hardest things. I hope my love for him will cancel out any fear that he asked me to do or anything that happens in my life. I want to be obedient to him over everything else and not allow anything in my life that would hinder me from doing what he's called me to do as a person, as a child of God, number one, then as a pastor. I want to lead well. And then when David said, well, I'm not going to be involved in a series, you can pick whatever you want to preach, which we, you know, him preaching through the Bible, that's the way I would preach. You go to our youth group, that's the way we do it. We go going through Mark, and we're in chapter 11 right now. We've been in chapter 11 for a couple of weeks. I'm sure the youth are thinking, when in the world are we ever going to get done with Mark? But guys, I just love the Word of God because it gives us so much. So let's read in Acts chapter 9. Now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that he, that if he was found any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Guys, that's another name in the early church. That's just another name. They called it the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe that just comes directly from him. Okay. So as he traveled to and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I love this part. Verse 5, who are you, Lord? Saul said. Think about who Saul is. He's a Pharisee. He's a leader. He goes to the temple. He studied the Bible. And he says, who are you, Lord? Oh, we know where he's at, right? I am Jesus, the one who's you are persecuting. I love that too, because Jesus feels everything that we feel and everything that we're going through. He's going through. He replied, get up and go to the city and you will be told what you must do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the sound, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground and Though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. He was unable to see for 3 days, and did not eat or drink. Verse 10. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to Ananias in a vision, "Ananias, here I am, Lord," he replied. "Get up and go to the street called Straight," the Lord said to him, "to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and placing his hands on him so that he may regain his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority here from the chief priest to arrest all who call upon the name, on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for this man is a chosen instrument to take my name to the Gentiles, to the kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Ananias went and entered the house. He placed his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." At once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up, and he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Verse 19 says this, "Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity today to just share your word. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just speak through me today. Father, I pray that you would open our ears and our spiritual eyes to see what you would have us to see, Lord. Father, you are God Almighty. Father, you're our Savior, our King. And Father, I just pray that we would obey you when you speak to us. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just guide and direct us and help us through this day. And Father, for some here that need to make a decision to be for the first time to follow you, Father, I pray that they would have the courage to do that and that they would take that step of faith. Father, if there are some here that just need to get their lives straightened out, Father God, maybe they're going through some tough times in their life, I just pray that they would come and seek you. Father, I pray for the ones that are sick, and Father, if they have illnesses or things, Father, you tell us to bring all those things to you. So Lord, I just pray that this message would move our hearts and our minds to the place that we need to be, wherever, whatever our situation is. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And Ananias' obedient love. You know, as I was thinking about how to open this, I didn't really plan on giving my testimony with that, but the Lord just impressed that upon me. And as I was preparing this, I preached this at Mount Zion Cuba Baptist Church about 2 weeks or a week after I surrendered to preach at Morgan Baptist Church. And I'm sure I didn't preach it this way because I threw away all the notes. It was so horrible. And my wife thought I was going to be done in about 3 minutes. Don't pine on that, by the way. Okay. But as I thought about this, what does God really command us to do? You know, the first two commands are the commands that wrap everything together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? And, you know, two of the things that Jesus wraps everything together for Christians, because it's actually your vertical relationship with God and then your horizontal relationship with man, because you represent God when you give your heart and life to Christ. And we have a responsibility to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that includes camp, by the way. And, but I want you to think about, just go back to verse 10. There was a disciple in Damascus. Guys, we don't know anything else about this man. That's all we know. He was a disciple in Damascus. We don't know if he was a leader of the church. We don't know anything. We know there was a church there. We don't know how the church got there. There was probably people that when Pentecost was there, that they came there to Jerusalem like they was supposed to or over Passover. And, you know, they went back and they formed a congregation. But Ananias was a part of that congregation. Some people say he's a leader. We don't know that for sure. But I'll tell you this, he loved God. Because when he said, When Jesus said his name, look at what he said. Here I am, Lord. Man, I wish I would do that every time Jesus speaks to me through his word and urges me to talk to people. But you know what? Things get in the way. I let life get in the way most of all. I've got to do this or I've got to do that. But guys, who does my life really belong to? It belongs to Jesus. It don't belong to me anymore. I gave it away. I'm supposed to live for him in every moment of every day. I'm supposed to be living for him and doing what he says and what he says. Okay. Now I use this passage of scripture to teach our youth. It's okay to question God. I hope you won't stone me for that. Okay. But look at what he says. Here I am, Lord. And Jesus says, get up, go to the street called Straight. The Lord said to him, but to the house of Judas and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. I want to stop right there for just a minute. You know, when Ananias heard who it was, he was allowed to question. But he said, at the very beginning, he said, here I am, Lord. We would be in really good company if we would answer that way, by the way. Abraham answered that way in Genesis 22, verse 1. I don't know. Abraham's a pretty good guy in the Bible, right? Starting of the Jewish nation. Jacob answered that way in Genesis 31, 11. Here I am, Lord. What do you want me to do? Moses answered that way in Exodus 3, verse 4. Guys, I'm just giving you these because I want to become what these men were. I want to be a follower, sold out disciple of Christ. And that's what these men, they wanted to follow God and they didn't even know it. Samuel answered this way as a child. He was instructed by Eli to answer that way. Guys, we've got to teach our kids. You know, I've always seen that as a child. But Eli was instructing him. If you go read that story, Eli told him after Eli figured out who was speaking to him, because Eli was far from God. All right. If you go read that story in Samuel, 1 Samuel verse chapter 3, you'll find out that Samuel wasn't the priest that he should have been, but he did finally get it right. And then Isaiah answered his Lord this way. And then we have Ananias. I really think, you know, that Ananias knew scripture. Don't you feel that way? I feel like he's read every one of those accounts in the Bible. He says, get up and go. You know, get up and go. Sounds a lot like our command today, right? In Matthew 28, 19 and 20. You know, it says, Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I will be with you to the end of the age. Guys, he's still with us today. He will accomplish his purpose in your life when you yield. We just had youth camp and we had Jason Reddick, the youth pastor from Heritage Baptist Church, come and preach at camp. And he said, the first thing, if we put our yes on the table, all right? So he used yes as an acronym. And that yes, the first one is Y, is yield. Yield ourselves to God. And every one of us have to yield ourselves to God. If we don't, we're liable to be walking in sin. See, Ananias had to yield himself to God. Ananias had to say yes to God. Now, he had some questions, and I don't blame him. I had some questions when God called me to preach. Lord, do you realize? This is some of my conversation with Jesus, okay? I said, Lord, do you realize I absolutely despised anything that put me in front of people? I would not do it. Matter of fact, I served with a young lady down at camp, same age as I am, but a young lady down at camp that said he hardly spoke in school. And you can't get me to shut up now. Okay. Especially if you talk about Jesus. All right. So you have to yield. You have to yield yourself. And the second letter is E, and you have to engage. Engage people in gospel conversations. And that's part of the going. That's what Jesus asked. That's what Jesus asked Ananias to do, was to go engage Saul, a persecutor of the church, in a gospel conversation. That Jesus had already showed him who he was. Right? There's nobody. Jesus uses people to affect people. And it's really, really important that we understand that. If you're not willing to engage people, you're missing the mission that God has for you. All right? We can live a great life, but if we're not willing to speak words, then we're missing the mission. Okay? So don't miss it. And the S is to surround ourselves with like-focused believers in Jesus so we can gather strength. And that's what we do here on Sunday. That's the reason you call a pastor. That's the reason to preach the word. Not that you better not just be eating right here. Because Bradley James does not go deep enough for that. Pastor David goes a little deeper than Bradley sometimes. All right? But let me tell you something. You've got to partake of God's word to be spiritually mature. Okay? And he will speak to you and he will show you what he's going on. So get up and go. Acts 1:8 says it this way, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And the reason I've done Acts 1:8, because you will receive power. You don't receive it before you get up here or before you go. You receive it when you get there. Guys, I'm nervous about getting up here. I've told you this. I'm nervous until I step onto the stage and know that God's going to use me. And I know he is, but I'm nervous until that point. And David's the same way. Okay, I hold it in pretty well, but most of the time before the service, I don't know that I'm going to have, it's that way every time, whether I'm preaching to the youth or whether I'm preaching to you guys. But it's worse when I'm up here with you guys because some of you guys know the Bible as well as me or if not better. Okay, so what was Ananias' concern? The second thing on your listening sheet. Ananias was concerned that maybe the Lord had overlooked Saul's reputation. Do you think he'd done that? No. But Ananias was a little bit concerned about it. You know, why else would he be? I mean, did you see what Ananias said? Listen to what Ananias says. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard from many people, not just one, not just two, but many. Why? Because people were sending people from Jerusalem about Stephen. Stephen lost his life for preaching a message. Stephen was stoned to death and Saul was stood there in agreement with him and they laid their coats at Saul's feet. Show that he approved that he ordered it done. Because he was leading the group. He didn't ever throw a stone, but he was rejoicing that it was happening to Stephen. Because Stephen was a threat. Guys, we're a threat to Satan. We are a threat to Satan and his kingdom. Matter of fact, the gates of hell will not prevail against God's kingdom. And I'm a part of it. Are you a part of it? We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have it at our beck and call if we will just use it. If you don't feel like, guys, I don't know how many times, the Lord help me today. Lord, speak through me today. Give me the words to say. None of this is in my notes, by the way. Come up here and read them. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And guys, the reason I love Hillcrest Baptist Church is because we're involved in every one of those aspects of ministry. But you've got to be involved in those aspects of ministry. Who's your Jerusalem? Who in your family don't know Jesus Christ? Who in your family is going to make fun of you or cut you down because of your witness for Jesus Christ? Who's in Samaria? Who's outside these walls? Maybe it's people you work with. I don't know who it is, but it was the people I worked with when I was involved. And it's still not the people I work with, but the people I go out to see when I go to the nursing homes because I work with great people and every one of them has the Holy Spirit. So I don't want you to think that. But here's the thing. I go to the nursing homes and I go to other places. Guys, I told the youth this about a couple of months ago. I was preaching at the nursing home at North. And this is the reason I just want you to know when you're preaching and you're fulfilling a need for people. But guys, there's people, nurses walking through, and this young lady in housekeeping was walking through, and I was talking about God's love and how much God loved people and how much she went through there like this, just shaking her head and just gritting her teeth almost. And it was Terry, the guy that goes with me a lot. He had something he wanted to share. And usually when Terry starts speaking, then you've got a couple of minutes, right? And this young lady was standing just past our dining hall. And I said, ma'am, can I ask you why you were shaking your head no? She said, if you looked around this place. I said, what do you mean? She said, there is so much pain and so much stuff going on here, and you believe it in a good, good God. That's what you said. I said, yeah, I sure do. He said, he ain't good. I said, well, can I have a conversation with you about this? And she said, I can't right now. I'm being watched. And so she had to scurry on along, you know. But guys, she worked there for about 2 months. I got to give her a Bible. I got to have a conversation with her. I don't know that she ever got saved. But I took the time every week to find her. And if she wasn't there, I went and found her because I wanted to know that I was there. And she said she would come to church. I don't think she ever did. And that's okay. Maybe she went somewhere. But guys, the power of the Holy Spirit will enable you. I didn't know what I was going to say to that young lady. I didn't know what I had to offer. I knew she was totally against everything. But she began to understand that that sin is what causes the pain and suffering that's in this world. So Ananias was concerned that the Lord may have overlooked Saul's reputation. So he reminds him. Well, I was definitely about that. Ananias was also concerned about his ministry. Why would he be concerned about his ministry? Because if he was the one going, then he could die, right? If Saul really hadn't been changed, what was the first thing that was going to happen? He's going to be arrested and imprisoned. But Ananias was also concerned about his people that he done ministry. Look what he says. I've heard from many people about the man and how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. He has authority here from the chief priest to arrest all who call upon the name. You see that? All who call upon the name of Jesus, he was going to arrest. See, Ananias was, he said, here I am, Lord. But then he says, wait a minute. Do you really understand what you're asking me to do? And that's the way I was when I was called to preach. Do you really understand who I am? You're supposed to know everything about me, Lord. You're supposed to know that I hate public speaking. You can do it through me. That's what I heard. My first sermon wasn't 3 minutes long. It was about 10. Probably not as polished as this one is. And this one here is probably not as good as it could be. Okay? But he was concerned about those three things. He's concerned about whether the Lord really had done his research. He was concerned about his ministry, whether he was going to be around to do ministry anymore. And number three, he was concerned about his people, how this was going to affect the people that he done ministry with. Number three, God revealed to Ananias what his plan was for Saul. I love this part. Because you have two men. One had a vision on the road to Damascus. One had a vision from God telling him what he wanted him to do. Guys, you don't read another account. Saul had to come to Christ just like you and I. You have to realize your need. See, and Saul realized that. First reason we looked at Acts chapter 1 through 9. Because Saul realized his need. Then he done what Jesus told him to do. And he's waiting for the rest of it through Ananias. And he actually, the Bible says that he's seen a man named Ananias. Ananias was a common name. Okay. You know, it's a common name like Linda in our church. I came here. I thought I'll never get all these Lindas straight. I know most Lindas now. Okay. But I'm just joking, but it's true. Ananias was a common name. And, you know, Ananias, but God chose this Ananias and we don't know who he is. Okay? We really don't. He's not in scripture anymore other than in Paul's testimony in Acts chapter 22. But he realized what his plan was. Look at what it says. Go for this man. He says it again. Go. For this man is chosen, a chosen instrument. Not only is Saul a chosen instrument, but Ananias was a chosen instrument of God. Okay, not only was Saul a chosen instrument, but Ananias was as well. To take my name to the Gentiles, to kings, and to Israel, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. That would be enough for me to get me to go to somebody. If I knew that they had persecuted the church, I want to go see how much this guy has to suffer. Right? I wonder if Ananias watched the rest of Paul's life. I don't know whether he did or not. Just the thought that came to my mind, guys. But seriously, in all seriousness, look, he said, you're going. If you don't, you're not going to be in my will. Okay? And actually, he tells us the same thing. He tells us that to go. And I want you guys to realize your Sauls and your Pauls, you don't know when they're going to change. But if you pray and ask God, they'll have opportunity to change. They may never change. All right. They may never accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's not a promise. Why? Because there's free will. But Paul was predestined to become, or Saul was predestined to become Paul. All right. And every one of us, we have a choice. Did Saul have a choice? Absolutely. But yet God was molding him and making him into the person so he could be the person. Look at verse 17. Ananias went and entered the house. He placed his hands on him and said, Brother Saul. Brother Saul. Wow. With that kind of reputation. Because the Lord had already said he is a chosen vessel. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Okay, it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. If you're sitting in a pew today, God knows your name. He knows when you was born and he knit you together in your mother's womb and he gave you all the talents and all the things that you are. And you're his workmanship and he has a plan for you to accomplish. Okay? Just like Saul, we are no different. He was a sinner that needed saved by grace through faith. And he needed a lot of grace, right? Well, he murdered Christians. How many people have you murdered in your life? Oh, you say none. How many people have you hated? Because that's really what it comes down to. Jesus said hate is the same as murder. It's the beginnings of murder. All right? So when I look at that, I may not be too far from where Saul was. I'm glad for grace. So glad for grace. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says it this way. Therefore, my dear friends, you know, Saul becoming Paul wrote both of these. Therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. Guys, I told the Lord when I surrendered to preach, I'd never turn down an opportunity unless I was otherwise engaged in some other opportunity. When Pastor David said, what Sunday do you want to preach in June? It's like, I don't know. June's pretty full, but not on Sunday. That's what the Lord said to me. That's the reason I'm preaching today, because next week I'll be totally spent and I'm going to sit at home and go. Okay. I might really do that too. But Ananias' obedience. Ananias went and entered the house and he said, Brother Saul. How could he say that? Because he replaced the fear that he had, the anxiety that he had. And all those things with the love of God that God had for Saul. Okay? He replaced it. He said, if God can love this guy, if God's got a plan for his life, if he's going to reach the Israelites, he's going to preach the kings, and he's going to reach Gentiles, then I'm going to do what Jesus says. See, he replaced it all to be obedient because of his love. Because of his love for Jesus, he done this. Did he want to? Not really. Not at the beginning. I think when he went in that house and seen Saul sitting there blind and was praying and he hadn't eaten in 3 days, I think he said, wow, God's really worked a miracle in this guy's life. It's a miracle that I'm standing here today preaching to you because I could have said no. But he has a plan for your life. You know, I think about at camp this week, Dennis used Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and all the stuff that was going on in their lives in Daniel chapter 3, 16 through 18. And Nebuchadnezzar, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. And the question was, why won't you bow down? If the God we serve exists, then we can be rescued. He can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. He can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden statue you set up. And the reason I use that, guys, is because their answer, they didn't have any questions. The king had questions, but they had no questions. They knew what their plan was. And they was not going to bow down and serve anybody else but Jesus Christ. And guys, that's what we've got to decide. That's what we've got to determine in our lives. I am not going to bow down to anything else. And I'm going to try to accomplish God's purpose for my life every time, every moment of every day that I go through. And my answer is, I don't care what happens because God's got it. And if you believe God's got it, then you ain't got nothing to worry about. Because he's in complete control. Our youth this week learned that there's the sovereign will of God and there's the commanded will of God. And there's certain commands that me and you can disobey and we can put them off. And I put preaching off for about 3 months, but I decided that I could not go to church anymore unless I began to preach God's word because I felt conviction every time. I felt conviction every time. This is another good example. The time was May 19th, May 1780. The place was Hartford, Connecticut. The day had gone down in New England and as history as a terrible foretaste of the judgment day. For at noon, the skies turned from blue to gray. And at mid-afternoon, they had blackened over so densely that in that religious age, men fell to their knees and begged a final blessing before the end came. The Connecticut House of Representatives was in session and some of the men fell down and others clamored for an immediate adjournment. The Speaker of the House was one Colonel Davenport. Guys, think about it. I don't know how many times I've heard that, you know, this is the last times. This is it. This has been happening from the beginning. I mean, this is like said the 1700, 1780, you know. We've been looking for God. I hope you're still looking for Jesus to come back. Amen. You better be looking because he can come at any moment. He'll be here anytime. But let me tell you something. Listen to what this guy says. I love it. He came to his feet. He silenced them and said these words. The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. I wish therefore that the candles be brought. Guys, that's the way our faith has to work out. We're supposed to work until Jesus comes back. You're supposed to be obedient in love to Jesus Christ until Jesus comes back, until you lay eyes on him. Okay? Ananias feared God more than he did Saul in the end. How do we know? Because he did what God wanted him to do over what he wanted to do or what he was concerned about. And Ananias was able to pour some of his faith into Saul, who became Paul. Look at verse 19. And after taking some food, he regained his... Oh, at once something like scales fell from his eyes. Back up at verse 18. And he regained his sight. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time. Who do you think was there with him? Ananias was. We get to spend some time with people that confess Christ. You know, there's only a couple of places in Scripture where God whisked people away, or Jesus left. The guy that was... demon-possessed with the legion of demons. He left him in there in the Decapolis to be a witness. And I can't remember the guy's name that left the Ethiopian eunuch. Right at the, but it just came to my, just left my mind. But anyway, Philip, thank you. That was a test. You are paying attention. All right. Just as God changed Saul into Paul, he wants, he desires, and is pursuing you to make a new creature in Jesus Christ. That's really what it boils down to, guys. Listen to that. God wants and desires. Jesus wants and desires and is pursuing you to make new creatures in Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. All right? The new has come. Lots of new things has happened to me. I didn't know I was going to be a camp director. Didn't plan on that at all. Didn't know I was going to be a youth pastor. Guys, when God calls us to do something, He provides it. And for you, for your witnessing and for going, do you really love God more than you love yourself? Do you love God more than you love your family? I have left my family for five weeks at a time. Always glad to get back home. Always glad to get back home. But I love doing Jesus' work. My wife completely supports me in everything that I do. And I'm so thankful for that. Because it wouldn't be easy to leave if she wasn't supportive. She always gives me encouragement. Always tells me she's praying for me. And I know that she is. But guys, God is up there waiting for you to respond to Him. Jesus is up there waiting for you to accomplish His will and His purpose in your life. Okay? But you've got to yield. You've got to engage. And I didn't know I was going to use this or I'd have put it in my notes. But you've got to be, surround yourself with believers. That's the reason I think church family is so important. If you need to make a decision for Jesus today as our worship team comes, be obedient. Love God more than you love yourself. Love God more than your fears. Love God more than anything. And you'll be okay. Come and ask Him to help you. Like I said, He don't ever give me the courage until I step up here. But let me tell you something. He will give you the courage. I don't know exactly when. Because sometimes it just happens. I'm thinking the whole time I'm reading scripture, are you going to show up, Jesus? I'm still scared. But seriously, guys, He does. He gives you the power. Will you come? Will you come if He's telling you to today? Be obedient in obedient love to Him as we sing.